Delegates are the most important people in the world to these candidates. They will call you on the phone and you get to tell them what is important to you. And they will take you a lot more seriously than a person who didn't sign up to be a delegate or an alternate. So
that's true.
Like these county board candidates, if you think Lyndale Avenue is a disaster and needs to be fixed, make sure you're a delegate. So when they call you on the phone, you can tell them what you think.
We're rolling. We are rolling.
Rolling out. This is a real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now.
Okay, this is the Wedge Live Podcast. I'm your host, John Edwards, and we're doing a special DFL Caucus edition, and I'm joined by Deborah Copperrood, who is the Vice Chair of DFL Senate District 61, and Conrads Bukowski, who is the Minneapolis DFL Digital Guru. Welcome both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so February 1st is the day, right? Caucus Day?
Well, Caucus Day is really happening right now. It started in a sense on January 3rd, where people could submit what was then called a non-attendee letter with the expectation that there still would be an in-person caucus on February 1st. But then that all changed. I think it was on the 15th or 16th with the move in Minneapolis to contactless caucus. And so I'm curious how the process was for SD61.
Whose idea was it to consider not having a virtual process this year? That was the state DFL, right, Deborah? Like the initial plan was we're just going to do it like normal.
The initial plan was everything as normal in person. And then I think DFL leaders more in the Twin Cities area really advocated for something that wasn't in person. It's tricky because the caucuses are governed by state statute. And for there to be a major change, it requires the agreement of all major political parties. So you can imagine that it would be tough to get like the Minnesota GOP on board with a virtual process. So this is like using the existing tools and letting Senate districts opt into a contactless process, just using the tool that we already have, which is the non-attendee form, which in a pre-COVID year, attendees can, or people who can't attend the caucus can submit that and still indicate their preference to be a precinct chair or a delegate to one of the conventions or to help organize the conventions.
And we should say, you could just go right onto the website, the Minneapolis DFL website, which is escaping me right now, but it's really easy. And you could be delegate or alternate, and you should be both, right? Check both boxes.
I think my understanding of the contactless process, and again, that website is MinneapolisDFL.org/2022-2022. And so my understanding is that if there are less people signing up to be delegate than there are delegate slots, everybody who wants to be a delegate will become a delegate. And then if there are more people who want to be delegate than there are delegate slots, remember, under the kind of the electoral college system that is the caucus system, in that scenario, we actually just draw lots or do random chance to who becomes a delegate. And there'll still be theoretically an alternate position as well. But more the thing is with a virtual convention, possibly that it'd be just the delegates who are chosen randomly in that situation.
So it's extremely easy. And Deborah, I think a lot of people hear the word delegate, normal people who are not obsessed with this stuff, and I think that's going to be a lot of responsibility. Sounds like a pain in the ass, but It just means you get to go on to the next step and cast a vote that could determine a potential DFL endorsement. Right, Deborah?
That's right. So if you live in my Senate District 61, then you can elect to be a delegate to up to three conventions. So the Senate District will have a convention, and then folks who live in Minneapolis, there's the Minneapolis DFL convention where school board candidates will be endorsed. And then people who live in Hennepin County can also elect to be delegates to that convention, which might be the hottest convention ticket in town, actually, because that's where sheriff and county commissioners and county attorney will be endorsed.
Yeah, if you live in Minneapolis, all three county board members are up for re-election this year. I don't know if they have any opponents yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things happening right now, is that there are not a lot of contests that have more than one candidate. So I think the only contests that I know about that have multiple candidates are county sheriff and county attorney. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's actually a state representative race or a state senator race or school board or anything like that that has more than one candidate at this point. Am I right on that?
In Senate District 61, I don't think any either House candidate or Senate, like the incumbents, don't have challengers as far as I know. I can't speak for every Senate district though.
Yeah, that's a lot of candidates and potential races. Where is Senate District 61? I think I'm in 62. Am I right? Is the wedge in 62?
No, I think you're in 61.
I'm in 61?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Should we pull up your caucus registration?
Yeah, Conrad, blow my private data.
So I don't know exactly where you live, John, but it's everything to the west of Lyndale.
It is 61.
Yeah. So 61 includes like Loring Park, Bryn Mawr, maybe not
me and me.
Bryn Mawr, yeah, the wedge. Down to like Lyndhurst and Tangletown.
And then 62 is like Whittier and points to the east and south of Whittier.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yes, there's four Senate districts in the city of Minneapolis, 59, 60, 61, or sorry, 62 and 63, so five total. So you can think of 59 as kind of North Minneapolis and downtown, that kind of area. And then 60 is kind of the east side of the river. And then 61, 62, and 63 are different parts of South Minneapolis.
Do either of you know if any of the sheriff's candidates are actually seeking DFL endorsement? I guess they have time to decide, but anybody know?
I'm not sure. The Hennepin County Convention is on May 14th, so I think there's plenty of time.
Because I sent an email to one of the new candidates asking if they were seeking the DFL endorsement. I think she's leads the corrections department in some far off county. And the email bounced. So I forget her name, but if you're with that campaign, fix your email. It's bouncing.
Was it the one used on their Hennepin County campaign finance registration?
It was used on their website. It was like one person, it was like a name and also like info. I tried both emails and they both bounced. If you're setting up a new campaign, advice for candidates, check to make sure the new email you set up with your domain actually works, because oftentimes they bounce. Don't take it for granted that you've done a good job. Deborah, can we tell the David Wheeler story?
I was hoping you would ask.
Yeah, so I met Deborah at Lyndale Open Streets and we bonded over David Wheeler because I'll let Deborah. Deborah, do you want to tell the story?
Sure. So I was there with my Senate district and with the city of Minneapolis DFL. Just we had the big DFL van for visibility, and we had I brought like a camping sunshade that is meant to be staked into dirt, like at a campsite, which it was just on the street. So we had secured it as well as we could with some like rocks we found on the boulevard. And then David Wheeler's campaign tent happened to be right next to ours, just a little further south on Lindale. And poor David Wheeler, it was a windy, gusty day, and he was walking on the sidewalk behind our tent. And in between, like right adjacent to the sidewalk, was like this little iron fence, and our camping shade just blew right off the street and pinned David Wheeler to the fence.
Poor David Wheeler.
And so we had to pull it off of him. He was such a good sport about it.
David Wheeler's a good sport.
Yeah, he was really couldn't have been a better sport about it. And so then I have been a fan of Wedge Live for years and saw you walking by. We'd never met before. And I flagged you down and said that I had to tell you a David Wheeler story.
Because it's so obvious how much I love any story about David Wheeler. I had him on the podcast. He was great. He's one of my favorite guests ever, is David Wheeler. Go back and listen to that. I know the election's over and he came in fifth place, but still very relevant.
No, it was a
character.
Really good episode. I think, isn't he like a former pastor or minister?
I think so. Yeah. Either former or current. I don't know if you ever stopped being a pastor. Do you ever stop?
I think folks in that role have like really good conversational skills.
True. Okay. So is there, the governor is also running for re-election, right?
I believe
so. Unopposed.
Unopposed. So there will be a state convention, right?
And I think all the constitutional officers right now are unopposed. So I think that's one of the hard things about organizing for the caucus this year is that there's not a lot of, you know, exciting things happening when it comes to, you know, big political battles at the state level that would bring people to want to go caucus at the local level for their candidate of choice. You know, just like a presidential year when there's a lot of presidential candidates, it brings people out to the caucus or to the primary. But when there's just an incumbent on the ballot, it makes it hard to say, hey, let's get fired up and caucus. And so it's been frustrating as an organizer because for a lot of people the election hasn't started yet.
Deborah, why do you volunteer with Senate District 61? Why do you do this? How long have you been involved, and why did you ever get involved?
So I started getting involved in this unit, like the Senate District, in 2017, because I was a volunteer for Jamie Long. He's the House Rep for one side of Senate District 61. I can't remember right now if it's the A side or the B side. And so I went to the convention and as a delegate for him and wanted to get him endorsed. And I just thought it was a super exciting experience. And then I volunteered to be the precinct chair for my local precinct. And then you start going to meetings if you're in that type of a role. And then I worked on a fundraising committee with other volunteers. And then I was asked to run for vice chair, which I did. So I don't know. It's like there's just so many issues that it can feel really overwhelming. For me, if I'm focusing just like on the process of like electing good candidates, instead of like one particular issue or one candidate, it feels like that feels like a manageable way to be doing something to make the world a better place.
I can understand that. How about you, Conrad? Why do you do this?
It's something that gives me kind of a creative outlet. You know, I can use my skills, you know, they're, you know, you might have, you know, your dad might have, you know, done woodworking, your grandpa might have done this, and this is something as a millennial that I can, you know, use my computer and, you know, get people signed up, and hopefully that makes a material impact in the world. And so, yeah, just like Deborah, I want to make the world a better place, and volunteering for $0 an hour seems like an okay way to do that, hopefully.
Do you ever get yelled at, like when the website breaks, do people yell at you? Because they should know if the website isn't functioning properly, that's Conrad's fault. They should get on Twitter and send you a mean message.
Last year we had the voicemail system, but that was nice because it wasn't live, right? I could choose whether or not to listen to the voicemail that I see the transcription of. And if the transcription said something bad, then I don't have to listen to it. So actually I've been yelled at more in my day job than I have been, in the volunteering. So that's been good. Improvement on last year, I guess you could say.
Are registrations going well? I don't know who the best person to answer this. Maybe Conrad. Are registrations going well compared to maybe last time?
Yeah. So as I was kind of alluding to in my earlier comments, it's not going terribly well compared to last year. So from January 3rd to today, January 22nd, when we're recording this podcast, we have a total of 599 signups on minneapolisdfl.org/2022. Now that is only the Minneapolis DFL, technology system. That doesn't include people who, may be sending emails to their Senate district chairs and, maybe mailing in a paper form or something like that. That's just the online system. But back in 2021, for example, when we had every single contest had maybe two or three or four candidates, and the mayor was on the ballot, and everybody is extremely animated about, you know, contests like that. We had 20,000 registrations total. Now, a lot of those were duplicates, and so it was about 12,000 people total, and then 9,000 people confirmed with the postcard that we sent them. So this year, to have about 600, and it's in the good part of a month, it's just night and day. And so as somebody who likes to see people get involved in local democracy and get, actually cast a ballot, and, you know, make their voice heard, I wish we did have a little bit more competition that we could, you know, debate, you know, whether you agree or disagree with how things are going at different levels of government. At least we can have, you know, people share their opinion and share their vote that way.
So what proportion of the delegate slots are potentially going to go unfilled?
That's so hard to tell. Conrad, I just want to mention that you can still go to a caucus location on caucus night. Like in our Senate district, instead of having a location for every single precinct, we've narrowed it down to five. So if people go to the caucus finder, they'll get directed to the closest one of those five. And so they can still go and fill out a form there. We'll have blank forms there. And
yeah, so the website for that is caucus.dfl.org. So just like Deborah's saying, each Senate district is essentially creating drop-off sites. So those are kind of like, you know, in other states where they have drop-off for your mail-in ballot or something like that. These are drop-off sites that are in some of the same locations as the in-person caucus would have been. So for example, in 59, Senate District 59, I was one of the coordinators of that. And so we're using Elliott Recreation Center in Elliott Park. We're using a university office building in North Minneapolis. And then, you know, places like that, that we already signed up for the in-person caucus. And I'm sure that's the same with Deborah in Senate District 61.
Yeah. So it's hard to tell. Maybe we will get, like, this has never been tried before. So maybe we will get a lot of dropped off non-attendee forms the night of.
Yeah. That's a good reminder that you, if you can't or don't or forget to do the online thing, you can still find a location. And I don't think it's always the past location, because I think in Ward 7, they've consolidated to one mm-hmm. site. So definitely check to make sure you know where you're going.
Yeah, so the website to find your location is caucus.dfl.org. That might be updated between now and February 1st. So best to check the day of and see what the nearest location that the system gives you. And then it has maps directions to find a way to get there in whatever way you want to get there. And then always up until the same deadline, you can always do it online too. So if you can go to caucus.dfl.org and find your location, you can also fill out the online registration. Most people are less than 10 minutes.
Deborah, what have we not told people? Because I wanted to keep this episode short because I know nobody cares. Nobody wants to listen to a DFL caucus episode, but we're only 20 minutes in. We must have missed something.
We haven't talked about the resolution forms yet. So normally when you caucus in person, you can submit a form, a very official looking form with a resolution that will get voted upon by the precinct caucus attendees and then forwarded on to the Senate District Convention. And then from the convention, those resolutions are narrowed down and then forwarded on to the congressional district and then the state convention. And so that is a way that people can change the party platform. And so you can still submit those resolution forms, and those can be either emailed to the chair of your Senate district, or they can be dropped off at a caucus drop-off site on caucus night.
And you can also include them in your registration on minneapolisdfl.org/2022. So there is a upload tool, and there's the link to the PDF. So you can download the PDF, make as many copies for as many resolutions as you want, upload those all as part of your registration, and then you hit the green button and everything's part of one packet that way.
Mm-hmm. Conrad, have we missed anything? Anything we haven't covered from your perspective?
Well, I think, you know, if this is a political podcast, it might be interesting since you have done some research on the potential sheriff candidates, you know, what the situation with that is, because I think I haven't heard a lot of, you know, fireworks with the Hennepin County attorney contest. So is that something that we want to talk about today?
Well, I know our current sheriff flipped his car at 125 miles an hour while he was drunk driving. I know that. There's another one who seems like kind of a right-wing candidate. I didn't come prepared to talk about sheriff. I forget what that guy's name is. There's three candidates for sheriff. I have no idea if any of them are good. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line with, you know, many Minneapolis residents right now. We just haven't heard a lot from candidates, period.
The Hennepin County attorney's race is interesting to me. I think there are several or at least two good candidates. I'm talking to another one. I don't know if the fourth will respond.
So who are the four right now?
Ryan Winkler, who is a majority leader.
Deputy majority leader. So Melissa Hortman's the speaker, and then maybe he's majority leader.
I think so. I'm ashamed at how little I pay attention to state politics. And so Saraswati Singh, you've got Mary Moriarty, and Simon Troutman, who is a city council member in Richfield. Saraswati Singh is a prosecutor in Ramsey County. Mary Moriarty is the former chief public defender in Hennepin County. I think that's interesting. I had some good conversations. So you can look for that the same week. It might have already come out by the time people are hearing this, some of these conversations. And what's the other county race? The county board candidates, who I'm not sure any of them will have opponents. So I want to talk about if the last 2 years of virtual caucusing just goes to show we should end the in-person DFL process stuff. There's a lot of people who get behind the banned caucus idea because it's a pain in the ass. You got to, at the convention point, you've got to hang around all day doing the endorsement thing. Caucusing isn't fun either. It's like, I like to say it's spending an hour with my least favorite neighbors. It can be painful, and I don't want to denigrate the organizing work that the both of you do, but what have we learned by the last 2 years, and should more of this be done? Should more of this be streamlined and done online, or done in a way that doesn't require so much commitment, time commitment from people? Deborah?
I think there's a great yearning for an in-person caucus. I think that's why it took the DFL State Party, in my opinion, kind of a long time to actually act on an alternative process, because folks in more rural parts of the state, you know, they have fewer people who show up. They can socially distance more easily than like here in Minneapolis, where caucuses may be in like a small park recreational room setting. And so there's an option. Like, not every place in Minnesota is doing this contactless caucus. Like, there are places that really wanted to meet in person. So I don't see an in-person caucus going away unless the pandemic never ends, I guess, which seems possible. But I do think there is a segment of the population who really wants to do in-person stuff. And it is hard to make that time, especially if you have like a work schedule or young kids. But I do think it's better than just a straight primary.
I have a love-hate relationship with some of the stuff. I personally have a sick enjoyment of like hanging around in a school auditorium for like 8 hours watching the stuff. And I think that's because I like to make fun of it sometimes. It's a big social event with a bunch of political nerds, but not everyone is cut out for that kind of experience, I think. So I don't think I should be the standard.
The key word you said there was social. And, you know, humans evolved over millions of years to be social creatures. And I think, you know, whether there's kind of two parts of the caucus. The one part is like seeing other people and like having coffee and having donuts and, you know, talking about politics and having that social interaction. And then there's this other part of the caucus that is a labyrinth of rules about voting and, you know, voting for different things and making a political vote that way. Those two things don't have to both happen in person. You know, for example, like we used to have, you know, a presidential caucus in Minnesota, and then Iowa happened, the bad Iowa in 2016. And Minnesota was like, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to be a presidential primary state. And nobody has kind of looked back and said, you know, let's reverse that decision. So I think in the future, we might have a situation where maybe the party caucus is virtual in some sense or mail-in in some sense. But of course, we still have all the social gatherings once that's safe to do so without masks on, you know, in coffee shops, you know, in bars and, you know, places where people gather and talk to candidates and ask questions and things like that. Those things will still happen. But I don't think, and I, for myself, speaking for myself, I really don't want to be, you know, beholden to the idea that voting has to happen in person, when we could save so much time, resources, and expand outreach by having it be either mail-in or a primary or, you know, some other way of voting.
Conrad, if you let me cast my vote virtually, I'm not coming to your social thing. That's for sure. You get me in the door with voting and the preference thing. I'm not coming to your social activities.
Well, if all the Hennepin County attorney candidates each had, you know, cookie drives or something like that, would you come and get a free cookie for 5 minutes of your time with a Hennepin County attorney candidate, assuming, of course, COVID safe?
No, I wouldn't.
All right. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I think that's the end. I think we have covered it all, and we're right at 30 minutes. Any parting thoughts? You don't have to have parting thoughts. I just want to give you one last opportunity.
I would say for folks who haven't done it before, I think it's a great year to caucus. It's super easy this year. It's going to be quick. The different conventions are probably not going to be that 12-hour process that you just
described. Will they be virtual?
It depends. I'm not sure. I think Senate District 61 is probably going to have a virtual convention, but I don't know about the other.
So it's up to the local deciders? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a low barrier year because you can do it virtually, because we don't have some of those contentious endorsements. I think it's a great year to get involved. Like, people all the time complain on social media about politics, and you can get involved and you can actually change things and be a force for good and a force for change. And this is the year to do it.
You know, we were talking about the Hennepin sheriff race, the Hennepin County attorney race. Those are the ones that are the most contested right now. And my simple ask is, hey, if you have an opinion about those, you can just sign up online, take 5 to 10 minutes to fill on a form, and then you'll be able to vote most likely in who we endorse for those contests. It's a way for you to have more agency in how these decisions happen. And from the comfort and safety of home during COVID right now. So again, if you live in the city of Minneapolis, the website is minneapolisdfl.org/2022. And if you live outside Minneapolis, then I'd recommend checking out what your situation is at caucus.dfl.org and either find the email address of your Senate district or whatever unit it is. And then also, if you want to do a paper drop-off site, that those locations are on that website, caucus.dfl.org.
My final word is that delegates are the most important people in the world to these candidates. They will call you on the phone, and you get to tell them what is important to you, and they will take you a lot more seriously than a person who didn't sign up to be a delegate or an alternate. So
that's true.
Like these county board candidates, if you think Lyndale Avenue is a disaster and needs to be fixed, make sure you're a delegate so when they call you on the phone, you can tell them what you think. And that goes for all the rest of the races.
Or if you think that, we have, a $7 billion state surplus right now, and you want to tell your state senator and state representative candidates how we should spend that money, whatever thing that you think that is a good thing for the state government to be doing with it, now's the time to, sign up on their websites, become a delegate. And when they call you or text you, you reply back and say, hey, if you want to earn my vote, then the state legislature, which has the power of the purse, should make this issue more important, whether that is the stimulus checks or the housing or, things like that. You can make a big impact by using that delegate vote and, not really that much time of your time to make an impact for members of your community.
Also, I think if you're signing up to be a city delegate, I think the Minneapolis DFL chair is also up for re-election. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's how I'm going to end the show. Thank you both, Deborah Copperrood, Vice Chair with Senate District 61, and Conrad Spakowski, who is the website guy and technical do-everything person for the Minneapolis DFL.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm your host, John Edwards. This has been the Wedge Life Podcast.
This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've had plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.